Let's talk about Lego. Lego is fun. I was a huge Lego fan growing up. I had not, well, no, I think I had a lot of Lego. I mean, Lego was the only thing I wanted growing up. As a kid, very early in life, Star Wars minifigures, and then it just switched over to Lego. And Lego at the time was quite basic. There was space, there was city, and there was castle. That's what you had to choose from at that time. There, I think around the latter portion of my Lego endeavors, there were pirates as well. But it was the basic components of whatever you wanted. And so through Lego, I was able to re-implement Star Wars. So I didn't need the Star Wars minifigures so much anymore. I could just do everything in Lego. So I really switched over to Lego full time as a kid. And I got as much Lego as my parents were willing to spend on it, I guess. And as an adult, I have learned a couple of things about my interest in Lego. One, it hasn't really waned. Two, but it's not strong enough that I want to spend a lot of money on it. And three, you don't really think about how much space Lego takes up when you're a kid and your entire, you have your room, and you can just fill your room with Lego boxes. Like, there's nothing competing for space. Whereas as an adult, there's computer stuff, there's board game stuff, there's clothes and books and just all the things that you need as an adult to sort of either keep yourself entertained or refer to stuff for work or whatever it might be. So as an adult who's interested in Lego, I thought to myself, I wonder what options there are for virtual Lego in open source. So I started looking into it. This is like a year or 2 years ago. And I have found several options. Three, actually. Three really good options that I personally enjoy. Well, no. One option that I really, really enjoy. A second option that I appreciate. And then a third option that's just kind of fun, kind of silly. And that's what this episode's going to be about. I want to talk about the three ways I know that you can emulate Lego on your computer. None of these are included with Slackware, which is why I didn't do the standard intro of how we're going to go through all the packages in Slackware. This is something I'm talking about because I'm interested in it. So the I'll save the best one for last. So this one, the first one, is the one that I appreciate. This is an important Lego project, a virtual Lego project. Like, this is the serious one, and I'm gonna say it's serious, but I'm implying that maybe it's maybe a little too serious. In other words, there's complexity here, which, if you're documenting a cool Lego model that you've designed and built, you want to document for yourself how to build that thing again. This is the application for you. This is what you should be using for that. You can make your own instruction booklets, essentially, with step-by-step demonstrations of how a model fits together with this tool. You'll see. So it's called LeoCAD, LEOCAD. So right there, it's serious, right? They use the term CAD. So this is a CAD application technically, but all of the components that it provides you are Lego bricks. This is a cross-platform application, so you can use this on any computer that you please, and it's relatively easy to use, to be honest. For the complexity that it offers, it's actually pretty approachable. You select a color in a palette, it comes up, it's a GUI application, there's a big window where you build your model, and then there's a bunch of dialogue windows or palettes on the right-hand side, like little dockable sections. And you select the color that you want, and then you find the brick that you want in the little menu, or it shows you all the bricks, right? You scroll until you find the one that you want, select the color, and then you drag the brick from the palette, from the little bin, into your build section, your canvas, and they even snap together to try to help you find sort of like the right, spot to get those two bricks together. Each brick has handles when you click on it, so you can move them around. And when you're finished, you can render an image of your model, a nice, pretty 3D image of what you've built. It really does not get a whole lot easier than that, and it is an open source application. There is some setup required, and I will go through what it takes to set this up. So obviously you need the application itself, LeoCAD. You can download that. I'll have a link to it in the show notes. That's pretty straightforward. You can get a library of pretty much all the Lego pieces ever created from an open source project called LDRAW. 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 Like Lego Draw, but LDRAW. It's an open standard. LDRAW is an open standard for Lego CAD, which includes consistent measurements and relative dimensions, and a simple sort of almost a programming language for how bricks are oriented. So as a part of LDRAW's work in defining the bricks, the LDRAW community has provided 3D models of each brick. So that's what you can download. The thousands of brick definitions. So these are your virtual Legos. You can download thousands of them, or, you know, a bundle containing thousands of bricks, of brick types. It's about 42 megabytes. So it is, you know, it's kind of big, to be honest, but it's not really. I mean, like I say, literally thousands of brick definitions there. I mean, if you had it as a kid or you have it as an adult on your desk and you think, I want that piece, it exists in this library, I'll bet you. So installing your brick library is dependent upon your system. Usually on Linux, you put it into /usr/share/LDRAW. On other systems, it could vary as to where sort of LeoCAD expects to find them. But on Linux and on BSD, that's where LeoCAD expects to find the brick definitions. User share LDRAW. So the LDRAW download provides just specifications. Like it is a 3D model, but I mean, when you're download, it's just a bunch of text files. And for instance, like it's got a very specific syntax, and you'll see what the syntax is. Like you can look at them. You look at these, they're plain text. So like a 1x1 brick is just like maybe, I don't know, 10 lines of text, maybe 20 at the most. And a good 6 of those are just the header information. It's just the information about, okay, it's this kind of brick. This is the official name. This is the author of this file. This is when it was last updated. Here's the license. That's it, of 5 lines. And then you've got the CAD definition. And I mean, it's literally, it's just like 1, 16, 0, 24, 0, 0, 0, 6, 0. Negative 20, 0, negative 6, 0, 0, box 5, dot, dat, 4, 16, 10, 24, negative 10, 6, 24, negative 6, 6, 2, 4, 6, 10, 24, 10, and so on. It just goes on like that. It looks like nonsense. It looks like just a bunch of numbers, but it's actually, there's meaning to all of that, and there is actually a syntax that you can that kind of makes that make sense if you need it to make sense to you. But it doesn't really have to make sense to you. You're not going to interact with these files. What you're really going to do is start up LeoCAD. That's the GUI application. It looks in user share LDRAW for bricks. It finds them. And then you build your model. As I say, it is literally just dragging and dropping. You can drag a brick from the little panel with bricks in it into your canvas, and then snap them together, make them into a different color, whatever. Build your model. It has the capability of creating sort of sub documents within your bigger document. So if you are doing like a build manual, so that you can replicate a model that you have designed, you can do it over, you know, 1, 2, 3, 8 different steps, 24 different steps, however long it takes you to build that model, and clearly with clear steps, you know, clear diffs between the steps. So you can do that. Or if you just want to play with Legos and just want to build something cool but want to do it virtually, you can do that. Now, as you work, you're looking at an instant render. It's not one of those 90s style wireframes. I mean, you're looking at the bricks in the color that you have selected them. You know, you select red, drag out a brick, it's red. Pop it on top of another brick, and now you've connected the red brick to whatever, to the beige brick. Gray, I guess that is. So yeah, and you know, it's the typical, or I say typical, I mean, it's a 3D application, but it's relatively easy to use, I think. I find it relatively easy to use. There, I mean, you know, it's hard, I guess, to know what people's tolerance are for these things, but it is pretty easy. The install is super easy too. I forgot to mention it's an app image, so you don't even have to install it really. You just grab it and start running it. But anyway, once so while you're building, you see everything as it ought to appear. Now it's against sort of a dull gray background, and you are in an editing application. So if you want to get this out of the editor and sort of get a nice sort of a screenshot of it, as it were, well, it's a render. You go to File, Render, and tell it how big you want it. Of course, this is CAD, so it's vector based, so you can make it as big as you want. You know, you can make it 4,000 by 2,300 pixels if you want. It doesn't matter. And then it'll save that image out to your hard drive of your model. So very easy to use, kind of instant gratification. The only reason I say it's kind of instant gratification is there is a complexity here. There's a sense of complexity here. I mean, it's not necessarily that it insists upon complexity. It's just you are in a complex environment, and when you just want a 2x2 brick, then maybe having to search through all the possible 2x2 like entities, maybe that can be overwhelming. It is very, very true to the Lego company's stock. Like, if the Lego brand company brick manufacturer, if they've released a brick, then this LDRAW has it, and you will, for better or for worse, have to search through it. You'll have to overlook it in order to find that one brick that you actually want. So that's fine, but at the same time, there is complexity there. There's a lot of stuff to get through, and that's just the bricks. I mean, the color palette, there's a lot of colors there. The menus, there's a lot in the menus. The toolbars, there are a lot of buttons in the toolbars. It is a complex environment. You have to learn what to filter out and what kind of like what where your tolerance is for what how much complexity you want to sort of what you're signing up for, if that makes sense. So that's LeoCAD, and yeah, it's nice. It is easy-ish and nice. It is very nice. Now, interestingly, you can do all of this by hand as well. Like, you don't need a GUI, if you can believe that. There is you can use just a renderer and a custom file definition of what brick you want to use based on the LDRAW brick definitions. So there's this other application. So that was the LeoCAD section, right? That's over now. Done. We're on to a different application now. We are still using LDRAW, which again, those are the brick definitions. We're just not using an application. Well, we are, but it's something different. It's not the thing we were using. There's this other thing called LD View and like LDRAW View, LD View. And all it is a renderer. It is not a CAD application. It is just a renderer, and it is designed specifically to render .ldr files, which are the LDRAW part, CAD files. So LD view is just a command, and it will produce, just like Pavre or LuxRender or not Manuka, Mitsuba. It can take text and turn it into a 3D model. Okay, so here's a super simple text file that produces a single 2x4, a single 2x4 brick. Okay, so it's going to be four lines of text. First line, 0, name colon, mybrick.ldr. 0, space, author colon, Klatsu. 0, space, no, actually, I'm sorry. So actually, it's only three lines. So the next line will be 1, space 1, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 1, 0, 1, 0, negative 1, 0, 0, and then the name of the file that we want to render, which is, or the part we want to use for this, for what we've just defined. And that's 3001.dat, 3001.dat. So what that said was that I want to create a brick. I want to render a brick at 0x, 0y, and 0z axis, so smack dab in the middle, and then the 001 and the 10, 010 and the negative 100, I believe, is the color index, which is blue, and the, what's the other stuff? It's like the rotation. So this is just a flat brick. It's just, it's sort of more or less sitting on a table in front of you. Like it's not going to be turned on its side. It's not going to be at an angle. I mean, it will be at an angle, but it's just, that's sort of the default position of a brick. And then you can render that with LDView. LDView, mybrick.ldr. Give it a moment. It'll pop up a little window that displays a little blue, 2x4 blue brick, which is part number 3001. The CLR color index is 1, so it's blue, and then it's at 0x, 0y, 0z, and then the rotation is a matrix transform. So it's 0, 0, 1, 0, 1, 0, negative 1, 0, 0. Now, if you want to add another brick to that file, you can do that. You just add a new line, and you could do like 1, 2. That would be a green brick instead of blue. 0, 24, y. Or, you know, 0, 24, 0, so that's x of 0, y, 24, z, 0. And then negative 1, 0, 0, 0, 1, 0, 0, 0, negative 1, 3001 dot dat. And so now you've got two bricks that are connected to one another, and one is sort of facing, one has the two studs on the west, and the other one has two studs on the north and south. So they're perpendicular. Perpendicular to one another. It can be tricky to align bricks with text, and you have to understand this concept of called LDU, which I guess is an LDraw unit. So it says, LDraw unit says that a 1x1 brick is 20 LDU in width and 20 LDU in length. So one stud, essentially, or a brick that contains one stud, is 20x20. So if you've got a 2x4 brick, then you know that you need to increment its position in LDU units of 20. You can do sequences as well with LDView. They're called steps. A 0 space step creates a new step in a sort of a sequence of, so again, you could in theory do a whole set of instructions just with out of text, no GUI involved. How cool is that? Believe it or not, you can do yet more with these things. I mean, these are 3D definitions. So amazingly, you can actually create renders of your Legos with POV Ray, POV Ray. Like, there's a lot of flexibility here. And there's a lot more sort of tooling around this than you might imagine at first. There's yet another, there's a book project, like it'll help you like really, really create a book style layout called LPUB 3D. And that helps you do an instruction booklet that's laid out like an instruction booklet. You know, it's got the numbers, it's got all the notation available. I've never tried to print from there, so I don't know how easy that is. Like, I don't know how aware of paper sizes it is and that sort of thing, but it is good. It's good. You can make a little manual just like you get from a Lego box with this tool. So that's three options right there. LDraw you're gonna want. If you're using any of these options, LDraw is a must. You need LDraw. And then you've got LeoCAD, you got LDView, and LPUB 3D. Three really good options for doing stuff on your computer. So I was only thinking of LeoCAD and LDView initially. I kind of threw LPUB 3D in there because I feel like LPUB 3D is probably a little bit superfluous. I mean, it isn't really, but I think LeoCAD and LPUB 3D are more or less, I think they kind of fill the same requirement. And I think LeoCAD is that's the one I kind of have defaulted to. LDView, I said it was silly. I don't know if it's silly. I mean, it's good to have, but I think it would be difficult to really play with Lego bricks with LDView, unless you just really have a non-visual mind. Like, you know, while playing with bricks, you're thinking of how many LDU spaces that brick is set off of this other one. I don't know. I feel like that would be pretty tough. But I mean, it's there. It's available. If you want to mess around with it, it is there. So that's an option. Well, let's go get a cup of coffee, and then we'll come back and we'll talk about what is technically my favorite option. Okay, we're back, and I've got a cup of coffee. I'm back with Jed's coffee again. I just decided to throw some into a stovetop espresso maker and made myself an Americano. It is quite dark. It really is. It's a dark roast. It's only a 4 on Jed's scale, with 1 being, I guess, the least dark, 5 being the most dark. This is only a 4. It is really dark, but it tastes so good. It really does. It's a really nice, proper sort of espresso flavor, you know? Like, yeah, it's really good. So that's what I'm drinking as I play around with Lego on my computer. So this is the fun one. Like LPUB3D, LeoCAD, LDVIEW. They're very serious. Like they are very precise. They are emulating Lego on your computer in a CAD environment. Now imagine something more like a video game, I guess. Although I know that low poly video games are popular, like Minecraft and things like that, I guess. Maybe that's the only one, I don't know. But I've never played them, so I don't know what to make this to compare this to. But I will say it's a little bit more, let's just say, like a video game, except that's not at all a game. It's a fun application with the sole purpose of drawing 3D models with low poly voxels. Voxel is this term, I don't know where it came from really, but it's this concept of, instead of pixels, let's talk about voxels. And voxels are these a 3D version of sort of a pixel. So this application is called Goxel, GOXEL. Goxel, you can install it as a flat pack. That's the super easy way to install this. Goxel is a simple little application. You launch it and you're in an empty room, let's say, or I like to think of it almost as a plastic box, like almost an aquarium or something. And you can see the back wall, but you can't see you can see some of the back walls, but you don't see the walls in front of you, whichever walls those are. So you can kind of imagine it as if though you're looking at a plastic container and you see the back edges of that because of light reflections and stuff, and the two in front you don't really see. But now your job is to fill that container up with Lego bricks, except they're not Lego bricks. So this project doesn't use LDRAW or anything like that. It's just going to give you really low poly count. So like not very smooth, but like very boxy kinds of paint brushes almost, where you can add shapes. And on the left hand of the application, you see a couple of different shapes being defined. It looks superficially almost a little like Blender, but in a good way if Blender scares you. This is a very friendly application. Yes, it can be complex. Anything in 3D space ultimately is a little complex, but all you have to do really is click on the little pencil tool or whatever it is, like the pen tool, whatever, on the left. Choose a shape, and then click on the canvas. And just like a paint application, you're drawing in big chunky pixels. So if you imagine like a pixel art application, like MT Paint or something, which I've talked about before, because that is installed on Slackware, I think. Isn't it? I'm sure it is. So if you think of a pixel painting application, that's all this is, except instead of just flat two-dimensional colors. You're popping in like 3D, again, voxels. They're not pixels, but they're voxels. And that means that if you rotate your view, which you can do pretty easily in Goxel, then you'll see another aspect of that voxel. And it looks to you like you're building a picture out of 3D shapes. You'll never get like a smooth, like a smooth rounded edge on anything. Like your drawing is gonna look like Lego bricks because everything is a square, everything's a cube actually. And that's what you have. Those are the tools you have. But you've got lots of different colors, and you'll kind of get the feel for it eventually, I think. It is tricky sometimes because when you're drawing with Goxel, sometimes you will see a point in space and you'll think, I'm going to put a brick there. And then you click and it turns out that the point in space that you're looking at isn't where your mouse is going. It looks like it is in a 2D plane, but actually you're farther back or farther forward than what you thought. So it becomes a real point of importance for you to rotate your drawing frequently, which, you know, I mean, like if you think about pottery, that's kind of what pottery does. You know, you put a lump of clay on a wheel, on a spinning table, and then you form the thing that you're creating. And I know part of that is the centrifugal force helping you sort of mold the clay and stuff. But I mean, that's also so that you are constantly designing every side of the thing that you are designing. I guess I've never done pottery, but you know, like on Ghost, it sure looks like that. So in Goxel, you do want to rotate a lot. And there is a little trick to Goxel too. It's really, really nice. There is a planar marker in Goxel. And essentially you can put up sort of an invisible wall, and it's in the tool section. It looks like a square. Not a cube, but a square, like a blue square. It's like a force field. So you can put this force field up so that even though your canvas, your little container that you're filling up with Lego bricks goes, I don't know, 48 voxels back, you know, right now you're working on line 36. So you put a force field right after line 46, and now your pen tool, can't go through the force field. So you can build up like whatever structure you want to build up against that force field. And then you move the force field further and then you build up again. So in other words, you're building Lego sort of in columns. And that helps a lot because that way the point in space that you're targeting really is the point in space that you're targeting, because there's a force field back there that won't let your pen accidentally go further than what your eyes think, where your eyes think it's going. So that's a nice feature. I would say that of all the, like, if you want to play Lego on a computer, Goxel is great. But if you want to learn sort of like how to deal with 3D space on a two-dimensional surface, like a computer screen, Goxel is also great because it has some of these little weird helper tools like that, like the force field and planar marker thing. Like that'll really help you get used to the idea that on a 2D space, your mouse might appear that you've moved it back along the x-axis, but what you've really done is you've moved it along your y-axis. You haven't gone anywhere on the x-axis. You're on a 2D space. There's no depth there. So yeah, it helps you figure out sort of how to navigate 3D space and what it means when your 3D space is at a certain angle, what that means for your 2D controls. And there's a lot of different things that you can do to help yourself find your place within that 3D space. You've got little virtual cameras that you can position in different places, so you can look at it, you know, sort of from the top down. You can rotate it and so on. So of all the 3D spaces on a computer that you could have to navigate, Goxel is one of the nicer ones, I think. And that's what it is. I mean, it's a really simple application. It is not going to, like I say, it's not using LDRAW. So, you know, if you're thinking, oh, I really want that rounded brick from that one space set I had as a kid, like, you're not going to find it in Goxel. That's not what it's trying to do. The simile of of it being like Lego is entirely mine. They do not call themselves a Lego emulator. They don't consider themselves a at all. You know, they aren't related to Lego. I don't even think they really consider themselves as a brick engine. They're really a drawing engine. And I'm saying that functionally, while you're using it, if you tell yourself that those are Lego bricks on the screen, then you can pretend like those are Lego bricks. There are no, like, you know, they don't have like little studs on them or anything like that. They're just voxels. They're just big, chunky, three-dimensional pixels that you're painting with. But it's a heck of a lot of fun, and it does feel a lot like Lego because of just the similarity between a big chunky 3D pixel and a big chunky brick. Those are pretty similar sort of conceptually. So you'll feel like you're playing with Lego. Really, you're playing with voxels in an application called Goxel. It's a great application. You should try it. And yeah, there are, you know, different colors and things like that. So you can absolutely make some of the nicest, like, sort of just 3D, you know, low poly count images. There's a beauty to it, I think. I think one of the most beautiful aspects about it, in a way, is that it forces a certain amount of well, minimalism certainly, but also just sort of deconstructionism. You know, like, you want to render, I don't know, a mountain scene, right? You want to do the mountains with a nice green field in the front, and on the peak of the mountains you want snow caps on the mountain. Well, you've got a cube. That's your paintbrush. And so you do this illustration, and it looks, you know, like cubes. It looks like pixel art, except it's 3D. And it's really beautiful because of that sort of, you had to break down some complex shapes into the nearest thing you can approximate with a big chunky cube. There's a certain beauty to that. So I don't know. I think in the end, you can come up with some really beautiful and sometimes surprising images that you'll think that you know, you may not have even known that you were capable of producing that. Because in your mind, or at least in my mind, a lot of times, when I think, okay, I'm going to produce some image on a computer, the thing that happens is not anything close to what was in my head. And on Goxel, it's a guarantee. It will not be anything close to what's in your head, unless you picture the entire world as a Lego set. But you know, if you're thinking, I'm going to do an outer space scene, well, get ready for some really not very round planets, you know? Like as a kid, like, I had to make, I didn't have to do anything, but I would make, like, I wanted to make a hot air balloon once. And I just did it out of bricks. I mean, not a real hot air balloon for my Lego minifigs. And you know, you just do it out of bricks, right? And so, like, you don't have, as a kid especially, you don't have limitless supply of, like, perfectly rounded bricks with round edges. And even then, I'm not even sure that they have that many. I don't think that would be possible. So in other words, you make it and it's stair steps, you know, like, just that's not really a round thing, but you make it into a round thing. And in Goxel, it's the same way. You want to do a planet, hot air balloon floating in the sky, you can do that in Goxel. And it's beautiful because it forces you to be minimal, but it's also in 3D. And so it has that sort of added magic to it. You know, you can do your little hot air balloon in Goxel and it'll be floating in the Goxel sky. And you'll think, oh my gosh, how are those Lego bricks suspended in midair like that? Well, it's because they're not Lego and it's not really the air. It's simulation on your computer, but it looks gorgeous if you're into that kind of thing. If not, then, you know, it might just look ugly and too pixely and not fun, but I like it. So Goxel, low barrier to entry, a really fun application, and it's just an easy application. You use it for an hour and you've learned everything about it. Maybe not everything. There's a cool laser tool you should check out, some advanced features, but generally speaking, you'll use it for like a day and then you will know everything about it. And then you'll just be able to open it up whenever you want and build Lego. It's a lot of fun. Try it out if you're into Lego. And like I say, for Goxel, even if you're not into Lego, try it out, because it's a great way to just kind of learn 3D space on a 2D surface, really. It has some of the best tools for navigating 3D space on a two-dimensional surface. It's really, really nice. They've got some really progressive ideas going on there. So check that application out. Like I say, it's on flathub.org. If you're running Flatpak on Slackware, it's super easy. Flatpak install blah dot blah dot goxel. Or if you're not on Slackware and you have Flatpak in your software store, like if you're on Fedora or something, or Ubuntu, or anything that uses a software center, just search for Goxel and it'll probably be there. Really easy. That's it. That's all the Lego topics that I have today, more or less. I mean, there's actually more, but that's the good stuff. That's the best stuff. So thanks for listening. I'll talk to you next time.